showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Friday edition of Overtime. I'm your host, Malcolm Harris, and I'm sitting live in the flesh, Matt King. What's going on, baby?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm great, man. I'm feeling good. Justin Feist in the house on those switches.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Feeling good.
Feeling good. I'm feeling a little empty today,
man. You know
why
I'm feeling good? No offense to Matt, but I didn't go to class today because I don't have class anymore. So
same.
I feel really bad for you. Hang in there, bud.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
You have to, man. You're going to eventually, you know, you're going to take over the world, but you make sure you're in class.
Got
to
stay in school, kids.
Get those clicker points.
Yeah.
Man, I hated a clicker, man. Couldn't stand it.
Well, and like half the kids are like freshmen, and they all ran out of clickers at like the bookstore by today.
Really?
So
it's just absolute mayhem.
So a bunch of people are like freaking out. I need to get mine on like Tuesday or whatever just to make sure.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey, what kind do you need? The big blocky one or?
Yes. It looks like a calculator.
I might bring one in.
Oh, no. I mean, I have mine now.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
I think I actually have it right here.
Well, we are missing, of course, QB1. Tanner Carson is out covering Sevier County at Jefferson County tonight.
Another one. Except this is a unique crew. We've never had this trio before.
No, this trio is a first. It's a first time. And I'm really excited. We're going to be here until 8 o'clock. So with that being said, we have so much to cover, fellas. A lot has happened today, and I want to jump right into it. Let's start off right in. I know it's 8 days until football season kicks off, and we have Aubrey Solomon in street clothes.
Not a great sign if you're feeling a little bit down about potentially it being a transfer thing. You good, Bear? Oh, we got Bear coming in. I think
yeah,
we got you.
Oh, you guys got me good.
Yeah, we
Bear,
got you.
What's up, man? Talk to me.
Apparently, it came in late at the end of our show. He has since he joined the rest of the team out on the practice field.
Oh, so he's no longer in street clothes.
So he's just late.
No, apparently, he is in his required uniform.
Okay, I'll just make Bear good. Thank you for coming in hot now.
No problem.
Huge assist.
Huge assist. I just saved about
10 minutes of angst and more Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, because I was about to be really, really upset. Really, really upset.
So we have QB1 out, but we also have our starting point guard out, and we got the sixth man off the bench to help us tonight.
And, I mean, he just came in clutch. So Aubrey Solomon is officially back. Everything's good. So we're just waiting on the official go-ahead that we are good to go, and he is now cleared to play. So hopefully by next week, surely, we'll hear something. What do you guys think, an early Tuesday at the latest?
Allegedly. We'll see.
Huh. I hope so. Man. We had a couple other players out of practice, too. Daniel Batuli was not dressed out for practice. And then I remember there was another player. I forget who it was. I should find it. But somebody might have been away with a death in the family or something like that.
You never like to hear that. I know something you do like to hear is that 4 Vols have been named to the FWAA Freshman All-America team, Henry Toa-Toa, Warren Burrell, Darnell Wright, and Wanye Morris. So some young and talented fellas, Matt.
And that's, with the exception of Darnell, that was the guys who made the list, the other list that came out. Was that?
Wait, is it like a completed list or is it a watch list?
I think it's more so a watch
list.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, because
I can't find it yet.
Preseason freshman All-Americans really is just like a watch. I mean, you can't really say, oh, yeah, these guys are going to do amazing things. Like, you can definitely buy into the hype, but you can't necessarily predict them to be amazing.
Well, regardless, it's just really good to have, you know, not just one but multiple guys
multiple.
In orange. I mean, that's it. Get my blood, you know, just riled up, man. I'm excited. We got, like I said, 8 days, man. So we'll be kicking off Georgia State a week from tomorrow.
That's crazy to believe.
It is.
This offseason's been long, but not, you know,
yeah,
terrible. I mean, it's a pretty good offseason, in my opinion. But
who we got on that list? Did we read them all?
Yeah, so we had Henry Toa, we had Warren Burrell, Darnell Wright, and Wanya Morris.
Okay.
So we got two on defense, two on offense. And I like that two are on the offensive line.
On
so
the offensive that's line.
Hopefully going to pay dividends immediately.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one from each side of the ball to be better than the other on this list, who do you think?
That's tough, man.
I'm going to say Toa and Morris. And the only reason I say Wanya over Darnell is because he early enrolled and Darnell did not. So he had a little bit more time.
That makes a difference.
And then I feel like Warren Burrell's really good and he might even make a push on the guys who are already starting. But it sounds like all the hype is in Toto right now.
Sorry, guys. I had to pull up. The Nextdoor phone hotline is officially open. I had to let everybody know, 865-546-8200. Again, the Nextdoor home group hotline. Feel free to give us a call as we're going through a lot of content tonight. And I agree with you. I think that early enrolling is definitely something that is very beneficial for a young football player. But I also do think that Darnell Wright is very, very talented. I think Warren Burrell, you know, the rave reviews that he's been getting from defensive coaches as well as Coach Pruitt. I'm just excited to see all four, man. Regardless of this, you know, so-called list, I'm ready to see all four.
And hopefully at least half of the game against Georgia State, at least to see all four of them play at least half a game.
Man, I want all young guys out there against Georgia State. I want to see all young guys. I mean, just really show me, obviously, starters. You know, I want to see, you know, great, you know, execution from them. But I want to see the younger fellas come in. Let's see what's in, you know, this recruiting that we've been up to.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even seen Shrout or Maurer, really. I mean,
we don't know what we have in that quarterback room, man. Said that yesterday. There's a lot of unknowns, and hopefully with, you know, this Georgia State game and other games on the schedule, we can see what we have in our young guns, man.
Absolutely.
Speaking of our young guns, we're going to go to even younger ones in high school. We have some high school action kicking off tonight across the region, man.
Across the state, across the country, right?
Country, honestly, I mean, this
Friday
is,
Night Lights, baby.
It's the best. It's the best, man. I'm very excited. I know yesterday kind of kicked off. I know there was some weather issues, but we had Powell over Greenville, 19-17. A little box score from that. It was about 6-3 headed into halftime.
Wow.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Powell just finds that I'd say, spark. And they, you know, carried it out and eventually were topping Greenville. And that's a pretty, pretty good win for Powell, man.
Yeah, they snapped Greenville's 30-game win streak.
I mean, that's humongous.
That's
man.
The same stretch they were on. They won two straight state championships in 4A. So
wow.
Look at old Powell, man. You know, I used to live in Powell.
Powell Haskew?
Yeah, I used to live in Powell. They had
Haskew.
They had Perros, one of my favorite Italian spots out there. So that was a little free AD, free ad. But
nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, high school football starting everywhere across the country. Very excited about it.
Shout out to my mid-state alma mater, Brentwood High School. Opened up the season against Montgomery Bell Academy. Go get them, guys.
That's what I'm
Is that tonight?
About.
Yes.
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, guys, we are actually hitting our first break. So when we come back, we have week zero on tap. We're going to get into a little preview, talking a little Hurricanes and that team down south in Gainesville. I'm not going to say the name, but for overtime, we're going to be right back. Welcome back to Overtime. This segment of Overtime is going to be brought to you by the Nextdoor Home Group, and they are top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. Very straightforward. Get the job done with money left in your pocket. Fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corum has a top-notch team, most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry, negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market. No gimmicks. just results. Visit nextdoorhomes.com or give them a shout at 865-233-9461. All right, fellas. Now, I know I said that we're doing a little introduction, but how are we feeling about this so-called Week Zero matchup? Are we excited that college football is finally back?
I am super hyped. This is going to be my first college football season. We'll get into it in a minute, but gambling, so it could go
really well or really,
really
bad.
Really well or really bad, but probably somewhere right in the middle, as I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I'd hope to imagine gambling goes. Maybe it's all negative.
What about you, Matt? How you feeling, man?
I was excited about Week Zero last year when the best matchup was like Hawaii and Colorado State. You know, I'm all
and
in.
Hawaii,
man.
Beat them like pretty decently.
Really bad. I'll
sleep on Hawaii.
Me and my friends grabbed some dinner. There was like Jayville State and North Carolina A&T was like the ESPN game. And at first I was like, man, why am I getting so excited for this? It's because it's college football.
It's college football, man. I always tell everybody, you know, the Malcolm, which one do you prefer, NFL or college?
Easy.
College, they play with that passion that you have to have it, man.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have it. Well, let's take a look now at this matchup. We have Miami Hurricanes, not Miami of Ohio, taking on the Florida Gators. It will kick off college football's 150th season in front of about 65,000 people. They're reigniting a dormant rivalry, one that hasn't been played since 2013. And that day, Miami took a 21-16 lead. And they've dominated this series recently. No? The U.
I hope they can keep that up.
Me too, man. Me too. I'm definitely excited about this. It's tomorrow at 7 p.m. And the Canes, you know, they were coming off a 10-win season and ACC Coastal title in 2017. Last year, they were 7-6, including 4-4 in conference play.
And they got blasted in their bowl game, too, by a weak Wisconsin team.
I mean, what, 35-3? And then, you know, Coach Rick retired. I don't think he – was it retired or was it, hey, this can't happen at Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's also like, this can't happen for me anymore. You know, I feel like Rick is a great coach, you know, over time, but that last season was bad.
So Manny Diaz, eventually, he takes the job, originally at Temple.
Was it like 10 days afterwards?
Yeah, and then Miami came knocking, and he said, Temple, I'm not going home, but I got to get up out of here.
Mm-hmm. And, I believe I read he's from Miami or he lived in Miami at one point.
He's a Miami guy. He's going to be a very, very good recruiter. But for this clash here with Florida, and Florida, they had a pretty good season last year.
Great season.
I'm just not going to be a hater. I call it a spade a spade. Florida played outstanding at times. Who do you have, Matt, winning this game and why?
So I'm looking at a matchup of two programs that were headed in very different directions in the past 2 years. So 2 years ago, Miami was, as we just mentioned, all the way up.
Yeah.
And Florida reached one of their worst seasons in forever, 4-7. They didn't even get to play all their games. And then you come into the next season, and Florida and Miami basically switch. I mean, Miami did a little bit better than Florida did. And you can only think that Dan Mullen coming to Florida was the reason. You can say Florida's offseason, not that great, and that's, you know, the truth, but their starters are dangerous. I feel like Manny Diaz is a good fit for Miami. Great defense. It's defensive-minded coach. And they'll probably have a pretty good defense, I mean, this season and, you know, going on to be able to recruit. But they're starting redshirt freshman Jaren Williams. Beat out Tathan Martell.
Isn't that crazy? Tate Martell, man. He lost not only one, but now two starting jobs.
And he's thinking of working at wide receiver, too? That's crazy to me.
Wow.
And so this is Jaren Williams. I don't know if it's his first college football game because he would have been able to play if he redshirted. I don't know if he played last year.
It is his first collegiate start as he only took three snaps last season in a reserve role. So that's wild, man.
So, I mean, this is really his first action. Florida's defense is going to be hungry. Mullen will probably draw up some fun plays just to get at him. Give me Gators by double digits.
He's going Gators by double digits. All right, Justin, I'm gonna switch off to you, man, because I need you to kind of talk to the people and see what exactly we're feeling. So yeah. how are you feeling about this?
Well, I hate Florida, so I'm not going to pick them to win. I'm going to be rooting against them very hard all day tomorrow, as I'm sure pretty much everyone across the state of Tennessee will be doing. I think the U is back. I think Manny Diaz.
You think so?
I think Manny Diaz has got some swag about him. And there might be some nefarious activity going on. I've heard some rumblings. He drove his boat down like some canals in the middle of Miami, like blasting music, like not giving a damn. So I think Manny Diaz is the right man for the job. And I suppose I'll put my money where my mouth is, and I'll bet on Miami to at least cover. But yeah, I think the U's got this one. I would love to see the Florida season open with an L, given their ranking right now, and that would just be phenomenal. Also, I'd love to see Felipe Franks just like kind of have a really crappy game. That would make me feel
so good,
so much better about our matchup a couple weeks later.
So good, man.
Well, then that's how you get your hopes up, though, and that's dangerous.
Don't talk me down. I'm really up there right now.
For me, guys, I think this is going to be a very, very good game. I think that, you know, both Williams and Franks are going to light up the scoreboard. I really do. I think this is going to be a, you know, it's a rivalry game, you know, and there's going to be a lot of chirping pregame. Don't be surprised if they meet at the 50. I don't want you to be shocked at all if they meet at the 50 and there's some words that are said. But ultimately, man, I am going Florida. I think that Manny Diaz, first-year head coach, I just think that, you know, that swagger is going to take a minute to get back at the U. And I think Felipe Franks, I know I talk bad about him on this show, y'all. I mean, I'm not a Felipe Franks believer at all, but I think he's going to do what it takes. And he's got a loaded wide receiver core led by Van Jefferson, man. And they're good, man. And Dan Mullen knows how to draw up some offense. That's the one thing. He's not the best defensive coach, but Dan Mullen knows how to call an offensive game.
And Grantham is a really underrated defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want to hear Franks' stats from last season?
Please, man.
He had 188 completions, 6 interceptions, almost 2,500 yards, 24 touchdowns.
Wow.
Really? Completion percentage, 58.
He was 58% completion percentage.
Yeah. So I would love to see him not play that well.
I would be really curious to see what his stats were compared, or like in those big like rivalry games, because I feel like he didn't necessarily lose the games for him, but he definitely didn't win those big games.
That's what I'm saying.
That was like me in high school. I would show out against... I played baseball. I would show out against, like, the lower-level schools in our division.
Yeah.
And then I kind of finessed my way into an award at the end of the season that I don't feel like I deserved.
Nice.
Because I never beat any good teams. We here at Fan Run Radio,
we believe in you, Justin. And we think you deserve every award, dog. But, no, nah, seriously, I think that it's just going to be a showdown, man. I'm excited. I mean, it's like Christmas Day. You know that feeling on Christmas Eve?
I barely sleep, though. That's my
problem. Yeah, like tonight is going to be like, just get here already, man. Just get here.
And also, is it Arizona and Hawaii playing this weekend?
Yeah, tomorrow at 10:30 p.m.
You're not a real fan if you don't stay up for that.
It's and a new thing this year. Degenerate gamblers used to have to, like, keep track of Hawaii scores via email and stuff because there was no way to get that coverage. But now it's on Facebook Watch. So
nice.
Hawaii games available for viewing on Facebook.
Nice.
Courtesy of old Zuck.
Old Zuck, man.
Hey, you know, Florida's pretty excited for this game. You know who's a little bit too excited for this game?
Who?
The social media guy that tweeted out about the premature game day last night.
Can we please talk about that for a second before we head to break? Yeah, no, he is drunk, man. He is.
What was it, like midnight 30? It was like last night at 12:30?
Yeah.
I want to say it was at midnight last night.
Like when the clocks hit, what, 12 midnight, they said game day.
So this the official University of Florida Twitter account, not like their football account. The Florida University of Florida Twitter account.
At UF.
Game day. That's... Or was it's game day?
Just game day, period.
And so I mean, how do you mess that up so bad?
I don't know, man. And I'm sure that person or who's over the creative department at the University of Florida is getting paid a pretty penny. Get a calendar, my man.
Unacceptable. Shout out to all the people who brag about that University of Florida education.
Yeah, because that's...
Well, they had a cop-out, which was what? That there was a soccer game? But they didn't tag. You just got to tag a team, you know? Come the whole on, country man. Is waiting for week zero, and you're going to throw a tweet out like that. If it's about soccer, you need to tag the soccer team because everyone just came for the University of Florida.
And my thing is, it's just like, all right, cool, you made the mistake. Fine, I get it. You know, I'll tweet out something, and it'll have a typo in it. I delete the tweet before anybody will see it. So when you didn't recognize, like, hey, game day is not today – why is the tweet still up, y'all?
It never got taken down at all?
No, they just kept it up.
Well, then I guess they're just sticking to their guns and saying it was for soccer.
They tried to backpedal like a cornerback.
You guys think they're going to like do a game day part two tonight?
Oh, I bet.
And I don't know. If it does, it'll probably come from like the football account. I hope the football account's like actual game day.
I wouldn't be able to respect them, but I would despise them less for, you know, two or three minutes.
I feel like it was probably just like a scheduled tweet that somebody just looked at the calendar wrong. I don't think somebody actually typed that out at midnight, but if there was somebody, an admin at UF waiting for midnight to strike to type out a tweet about the first soccer game of the year, then that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Way to support your non-revenue sports, Florida.
I mean, that's support at its finest, man. I'm telling you. Well, when we come back, man, we're going to get into a little more college football. I know we need to get down to Starksville, talk a little cowbell with Mississippi State. And then also, let's go a little NFL, man. Let's just touch on some local Titans news. And before then, do you guys have anything else that you want to talk about as far as these good old Gators from Gainesville?
No, I just hope they lose because I don't want to lose my money either.
Me too. I mean, I'm just...
Or actually, they can win, but not by more than... The spread. The line is 7.5, so...
Yeah.
I'm looking for a game... I'm hoping for a game that's like that Mississippi State game last year. What was the final score? 13-7?
Yes.
Something like
that. I hope not. I mean, I just...
Well, then I should take the under as well. Thanks, Matt.
There you go. Professional advice.
Look at y'all coaching them up. Hey, we got more overtime right after this break. We'll be right back.
Score.
We're live back on overtime. Before we get into this next segment, I have to do this live read for MyBookie. And with that being said, college football is here, and MyBookie is the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. With MyBookie, you get real Vegas odds on all the biggest games. And don't forget the NFL. This year, MyBookie is hosting the first online handicapping super contest. Get this, y'all. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000. And it only costs $100 to enter. Pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of huge cash prize pool. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Double your deposit with promo code Knoxville. That's promo code KNOXVILLE at MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. There you go, Justin.
Appreciate it.
I had to get you right, man.
Thank you very much. And now we go to a little bit of news. Yeah, breaking news with football correspondent Matt King. What do you got for us, Matt?
Breaking news from the Jeremy Pruitt press conference. Jeremy Banks, sophomore running back, will be... playing linebacker for, quote, probably for at least the next couple of weeks for sure. So yesterday they saw him working at inside linebacker, and today it's announced officially playing linebacker. What are your thoughts on that?
That means to me, I mean, we're kind of talking about it in the break, somebody's not holding on to the football. That's just all that that's what I translate that to, is that somebody's having a difficult time. But you also love the passion and competitiveness that Banks brings, and you have to put him on the field somewhere.
Yeah, he's a really good athlete, but you can't have a running back with butterfingers, so they're doing what they got to do with him, putting him somewhere where they feel like he can make a difference, and it's going to be interesting to see. He's only been practicing there for one day.
Yes, and I mean, he got a little bit of work in the middle of the season last year, but what I think is interesting about this, not only do they flip him to a different side of the ball, what do you think that says about Eric Gray?
I think Eric Gray, the redshirt option is no longer an option to me. I think he's going to come out and play significant snaps. And essentially, I see a three-headed monster in the backfield led by Ty Chandler. You also have Eric Gray with, you know, the second string. And then power situations, man, Tim Jordan is about to be a fresh running back. That's a scary sight to me.
I feel like Pruitt wouldn't make this definite move if he didn't have confidence that Gray could at least be the third running back. So,
for sure,
there's just another sort of indicator that Eric Gray is something special.
I think that's – I don't say that's like the biggest news of fall camp so far, but that's up there.
That's substantial, man. I could think of, you know, if 98 and old Harbaugh, you know – got us some good news, man. I'm sorry for mentioning Harbaugh. It's like an everyday thing.
Well, it segues into other breaking news.
Yeah, so
right?
Another thing that Jeremy Pruitt was saying at his press conference today was he was talking about the players that transferred out of Tennessee's program. He said, "I wrote letters to the NCAA on why I thought those players should be eligible at the institutions they wanted to go to. I'm pretty sure they're all eligible."
That man's always recruiting, isn't he?
He's making himself look better than one Jim Harbaugh.
I mean,
that's for sure.
It's a recruiting tactic, but that's pretty cool of Coach Pruitt, because it shows me that he cares about the person and the player, not just the player at the University of Tennessee. So.
I totally agree. I feel like the more things we hear about the transfer portal this week, the more the blame has been shifted to Harbaugh, and this doesn't confirm it, but this certainly makes it feel like something's going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like a, you know, when they have like the little Easter eggs and like video games, like the challenges that you don't see. It feels like that. This is like a little hint. But yeah, man.
He's throwing a little jab. Maybe he's saying, hey, I'm good with my players going to play immediately elsewhere. All of them. How about you, Jim?
At the NCAA.
At Jim Harbaugh. _ dumbass _ Harbaugh.
Oh, man.
That's probably a Twitter account, honestly.
It has to be at this point. I'm pretty sure
Sabinocho or khakis.
Somebody is having a fake burner account for Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. This is ridiculous, though, man. I mean, what? We said the season's in 8 days. And I hate to keep bringing this back up, but it's kind of important.
It just feels bad every day that we get closer and closer.
Closer and closer. Like, when we're back in here on Monday, it's really, if we don't hear anything now, we're in uncharted waters here, you know? Because you're in game prep week.
Mm. Also, that can't feel good for Aubrey to have that hanging, like, over his head. Like, obviously, he's going to be – it was good that he got on the practice field today. That story about him not being on the practice field ended up being untrue for he was just missed the first part, but that's got to weigh on your psyche, I feel like. I mean, obviously you're going to practice the same and, you know, go through all preparation like you're going to be eligible, but like that can't like feel good to know that you could just have the rug pulled out from under him, or never, you know, or they could just not say anything for a while.
Just pocket veto his eligibility.
I just don't understand.
A little political science term for you. You in a poli sci class, Matt?
Was
a little pocket veto.
That was a great use of that term, though.
For those of you unaware what a pocket veto is, if Congress passes a bill up to the president and the president doesn't want to make a move to either sign the bill or veto the bill, he'll just wait till the period in which the you can't do it anymore.
It's so like dead if he doesn't sign it after a certain amount of time.
It's disgusting.
What a drop, Justin. You're earning the dollar today, big dog. Let's stick around in SEC football, man, and let's talk about a former Mississippi State student and part-time athletics department tutor actually committed academic misconduct, and as a result, the NCAA has hit the school with a number of sanctions, including probation.
What does probation entail?
That essentially means like you're losing
scholarships. I know they got scholarships.
They
taken.
Lose like what, five scholarships from this?
Let's take a look, man. There's so no the full list of penalties for the academic misconduct include a fine of $5,000 plus 1% each of the football men's basketball budgets, reduction of two football scholarships during the 2021-22 academic years. Let's see. I'm trying to just hit on the major ones. 3 years of probation. Vacation of records in which student athletes competed while ineligible. And a 10-year show cause order for former tutor. So he's out the job for 10 years.
You hate to see it.
You really do hate to see it, man, because this is the type of thing that really sets a program back for years.
A program like Mississippi State, too, right? Like, you know, Mississippi State is having some of its best years in the last 5 years. But, I mean, what was Mississippi State's best ever season? Was that Dak?
It was with Dan Mullen and Dak, man.
So, I mean, like.
So, is this cheating carried over from Dan Mullen's administration?
That is a huge
That's a great question.
That, I mean, that is a literally where I was about to go is.
Because what. Was he still the – what year – what was his last year at Mississippi State?
2017 season?
Yeah.
And this was for stuff through 2018? Is that correct?
I forgot where the –
So, nearly there's got to be some kind of overlap there.
Fall semester during the 2018-19. So, he was no longer there.
Is that's when the cheating mm-hmm. occurred? Okay. Oh, so it was this past. It was just this past fall.
Yeah, in a release by the NCAA, the tutor helped 10 football student athletes and men's basketball student athletes in an online general chemistry course by completing multiple assignments, exams. Oh boy,
that's
and nearly the entire course for student athletes during the fall semester of 2018.
I mean,
where can I get a tutor like this?
Yeah, I'm not gonna beat him up too much because I feel like this happens at every SEC school, yeah. But.
Don't get caught.
Yeah, kind of do your job better, tutor.
They got put on 3 years probation again and lost four scholarships over a two-year ban. Mississippi State will now have 10 players miss 8 games this season due to suspension. The statement from their athletic director, John Cohen, was pretty decent. He said, "Our staff at Mississippi State was proactive in our preventative measures, quick to respond, and worked in full cooperation with the NCAA enforcement staff." So he said, "Yeah, guys, you caught us, and we're sorry." That's all I heard.
Sometimes all you can do is take the punch.
I mean, I feel like the fairest thing the NCAA could do right now is just say, fine, we'll let you guys have everything you want. You just can't play one game of the season that we get to choose, which is conveniently October 12th, 2019.
That would be really cool if they were just banned for just October 12th.
You guys are...
And we get the forfeiture.
It only seems fair.
Unbiased opinion, of course.
Let's talk about Thompson real quick, the kid that just... transferred. He entered the transfer portal as of today, just 24 hours after losing the starting QB job to Tommy Stevens. You think the sanctions have anything to do with it, or do you think this is more so?
He said, "Nobody's doing my homework. I'm out.
I'm out." Wait, I thought y'all said chemistry. I didn't have to do that. I'm gone.
I feel like it maybe could be that, but I feel like the biggest thing is that yesterday Mississippi State had announced that Penn State transfer Tommy Stevens was going to be the starter. And I'm sure both of those factors could play into it. Maybe he's just trying to get out of there before his name gets connected to that scandal. But, I mean, if you're not going to play, you know, how many quarterbacks have we seen just in the last – 365 days leave their program to go start somewhere else because they lost the job?
So many, man. I mean, we can sit here in the SEC right now and name a couple.
I mean, after Trevor like Lawrence's situation, how do you not just like stick it out and just wait and see if your number's going to get called or if the QB1's going to get hurt or
Because what if Trevor didn't necessarily get up as quick as possible? You know, what if it was a legitimately, you know, a tough injury? Now, Clemson is kind of up the creek a little bit, you know. I was thinking about that point that you just made, Matt, and Coach Moorhead, believe it or not, Tommy actually was playing under him as offensive coordinator when he was at
Penn State.
So that's probably had a lot to do with it, that he wanted somebody who knew his system inside and out.
And you got to feel bad for Thompson. I mean, I'm sure he gave it his best for the competition, but it sounds like there was probably favoritism there going all the way through just because of that time they had spent together at Penn State.
No doubt, man. Well, with that being said, it's time when we come back. A little Mount Rushmore on this Good Friday evening. How are we feeling about that?
We got the Mount Rushmore of sports movies, and I'm looking forward to this one.
I am too.
I think I got some that you guys aren't going to really think are on my radar.
Okay, well, let's get to it, man. When we get back, it's overtime. Be right back. Welcome back to Overtime. Got me a little, oh no, man, y'all done up and done it. Oh no, that's my song, Justin.
Oh yeah, brother.
You got me hyped up back here, man. We're about to get into Mount Rushmore. Fellas, are you ready?
Let's get it.
I'm in.
Shout out to John Reed, man. I was actually in the lobby before the show, not panicking. If I was a quarterback, I'd be like Teddy Bridgewater, you know.
You gotta look at the playbook.
Just a little timid.
Yeah, just a little timid. You know, I was gonna make the throw eventually, but it was kind of scary.
A little wobbly spiral.
Yeah, a little wobbly. So he was
gave
like, man,
you the idea.
Go sports movies, and I was like, God.
Easy.
There's a reason.
I'm guessing that Tanner has done this at some point in the past 6 months, but this is a new crew. So.
New crew. We've never touched it.
We're going to pave the way.
I think it's going to be great.
I think we're
going
to drop some movies that people may or may not think are the most. They're not the most famous sports movies, I'd say. At least my list.
100%. I'm feeling. Are you feeling popcorn, man? Or are you feeling just camera time, all Justin mode? It's up to you.
I don't really care.
Okay, I'm going to just go straight to you, man. We're going to go straight to you. Right. Camera is on you as of now.
All right. And, I'll start it off then.
Give me your big four, man.
Number one, do you want to go in a circle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
At number one, I'm going to take The Sandlot.
Okay.
The Beast. That's just... Growing up playing baseball, like you could just kind of... You kind of just put yourself in that movie, and it's just a great story. And you love James Earl Jones... He's a fantastic addition to any movie. Benny the Jet Rodriguez, he was my role model. So, what you got, Malk?
For me, man, I am going Coach Carter. I love Samuel L. Jackson, man. And,
that is a great
movie. It's one of my favorite movies. I love Ashanti, too. So, had to give a shout out.
My number one is the same as Justin's number one, The Sandlot.
Really? So, we got two Sandlot.
Just so... There's just so much like rewatchability there. I still laugh all the time. So
what are like the famous? What's a good one? Wendy Peppercorn.
Look at y'all.
That scene is fantastic.
What's the one? Baby Ruth.
Yeah,
that's good stuff right there.
Justin, where you at with number two, man?
My second, I'm gonna take The Rookie, another baseball movie.
Really?
I guess I was very influenced as a child by me being a baseball player, so that movie kind of pumped me up. Always felt like that was always a good one to watch before your first game of the season. Kind of like get in the back of your head that I'm going to be in the pros one day.
Okay. I'm feeling it, man. My second one, you know, I've done an impersonation before, and I think it's pretty good, but Friday Night Lights, man. Booby Miles is somebody I like to model my life after, man.
And what's he sound like?
You want me to do it right now?
Yeah.
All right, so when Booby tore his ACL, it was something to me that was just so sad. And he sounded a little bit like, They want me to play football no more. They want me to play football no more. They don't talk about my knee. We practice when we practice. You work for Minden. Who banned you? Minden banned you.
That was good.
I appreciate it, bro.
That was good.
I really
Oscar
do.
Worthy.
Oscar, man. We want the Oscar eventually.
I
want
to nominate you for Fan Run Studio Employee of the Week.
Well, thank you, big dog. What's number two for you, Matt? Talk to me.
I'm going
to
go old school Rocky IV. It's my favorite of the
nice.
Rocky movies.
Going a little Rocky in here.
My heart breaks every time Apollo Creed hits the floor of the boxing ring.
Okay. Yeah.
No. I completely forgot about Rocky.
No, like Rocky should have definitely been on mine for sure.
I'm going to close it out with basketball movies. So First I'm going to go with Love and Basketball. It's a little bit of a it's a tiny bit of a romance movie, but mainly about basketball. And I don't know. I just recently watched it with my girlfriend last year, I think, and I'd never seen it before, and it's a really good flick. So
it is a very good flick. Definitely, that is a couples film. Definitely watch that. Definitely watch that. For me, man, I'm going to round out my last two as well. Football movies. Waterboy, got to have it. Got to have the Waterboy in there. And Rudy. I know it's cliche, but, man, when they put Rudy on the shoulders, man.
Were you crushed when you found out, or did you ever hear about how like that was just a massive
it was fake,
yeah,
fraudulent,
pretty much just propaganda by Notre Dame University?
Fake news man
You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. And Matt, round us out, man.
My last two are also baseball movies. 42, about Jackie Robinson, starring Chadwick Boseman.
So good.
Incredible movie.
So good.
Comedy, Major League with Charlie Sheen. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Major League.
That's a great movie.
It's fantastic.
I didn't include my last one there, so my last is going to be Glory Road.
You're going Glory Road.
Glory Road. I just, something about that movie, I think it was acted really well. I think the head coach does, I feel like the guy that plays the head coach, I don't know his name. Oh, I think it's Josh Lucas is his name.
Yeah.
He's just like a discount Matthew McConaughey, I feel like.
No, I could totally.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
there?
I could totally go for that.
But he does a great job. I love that story. Obviously, it's based on a true story, so
it definitely got me in my feels for sure. I need to rewatch Glory Road, because that, I mean, a lot of stuff that they were talking about is still pretty relevant today as far as sports, man. Really, what an hour, fellas.
Flew by. We actually were going to try to get some are we going to do Fake News Friday, or is that next hour?
I think we're going next hour. We're going to do birthdays and Fake News Friday in one swoop, probably closer to the 7:30 hour.
Sounds good to me.
Matt, how you feeling? You feeling good?
I'm feeling great, guys.
You're holding
it's
it down
great show.
Right now. You're holding it down right now, and I'm excited to end hour one. When we get back, we're going to jump into a little NFL action. We also have some breaking news around the country. And we're going to get into birthdays, followed by fake news. And then we're going to send it out because it's Friday night, man. It's Friday night. You know what happens on Friday night stays on Friday night, man. Overtime. We'll be back next hour. We'd like to help you learn to help yourself.